Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
All right, this is the beginning of our head coach ranking series yet again. We only have four power conferences to go through this year, but they are heavy, heavy conferences, 16, 17 teams in these conferences, so kind of tough to make these lists. But yeah, we'll go through all the power conferences, and then we'll have our fifth episode. We'll be doing, what do you say, top 15, top 20 coaches in the nation.
Yeah, we'll do national list.
National list. So we're starting out here with the ACC, and there are a nice even 17.
Yeah, 17 deep. We'll start with Tony Elliott of Virginia. He's only won three games in each of his first 2 years. And the way I look at it is his first year, he had Brennan Armstrong returning, and that Cavalier offense significantly regressed from what they had done the year prior. Like, Armstrong went from breaking records, throwing for over 4,000 yards, to the first year with Elliott, he passed for just over 2,000 yards, had 12 picks to 7 touchdowns, and then he transferred away the year after. So not a great look. Elliott really needs a good 2024.
Yeah, and then even before moving over to Virginia at Clemson as OC, his
he kind of lost his luster. Yeah.
Okay, number 16, Fran Brown at Syracuse. Of course, this will be his first year there. He was a defensive backs coach at Georgia previously, so you're always going to be near the bottom of the list when you're a first-time head coach because we just have no idea what to expect. He has shown so far to be a really good recruiter, so that's a good sign. I think he's going to upgrade the talent there, hired some good staff members that can recruit, but can they coach? We'll see.
Yep, I agree. 15, Troy Taylor of Stanford. And to be honest, still kind of an unknown. Last year went poorly, but that was expected in his first year as he inherited, basically next to nothing at Stanford. He was able to land a top quarterback recruit this cycle. You kind of have to consider his success at Sacramento State for the 3 years before Stanford. So, jury's still out, though, on what he can do at the power level.
Yep. Okay. Stanford's rival, number 14, Cal. Justin Wilcox is, of course, their head coach. And so, yeah, he 36-43 as a head coach at Cal. Pretty mediocre. Much of that in what has been a weak Pac-12. Of course, that changed more recently. It's been tough. But yeah, I mean, there's just not a ton positive to say. It hasn't been terrible, though, so there's not, a lot of negative to say. It's not like they've been awful, but just, I don't know. It's just kind of mediocre at best.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I look at last year alone. I thought they definitely improved, especially on offense, but their record just didn't quite show it. So it's just kind of trudging along.
He's doing just well enough not to get fired, it seems like.
Yeah, and we always talk about how crazy it was that he could have been at Oregon a couple years ago, but
it's just like, I don't even believe that he was offered the Oregon job. That was the report, but that is just one of the crazier. I will just think about that every once in a while. I'll just have that thought, like, Justin Wilcox turned down the Oregon job. Crazy.
Number 13, Brent Key, Georgia Tech. The way I look at it, he definitely made the Yellow Jackets play better and more consistent than what he had taken over from the Jeff Collins era. I personally feel like he got a lot out of them. But, last year they went 7-6. They did have some upsets, Miami and North Carolina. But now we're to the point, it's been like a year and a half or so. He's got to prove that he can improve them on his own and get them to that 8-9 win level.
Okay. Number 12 is Bill O'Brien at Boston College. Tough one to rank. He seems to be a solid offensive coach. Of course, was Alabama's offensive coordinator. Inherited a pretty good situation there and a tough act to follow in Sark. But, offense was still good. But it's been a while since he's been a head coach, especially at the college level. Did a great job at Penn State. What was that? I don't know. Over a decade ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Around there.
Hackenberg. And,
so inherited a tough situation at Penn State and did a good job, but then was an NFL coach for a long time, so that carries some weight, but I guess he just still needs to prove reprove it at the college level.
Yeah. He's not bad. It's funny. Like when he first got hired, I was kind of like, eh, but you know, it's not terrible.
I mean, for BC, I think that's a good hire.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Number 11, Manny Diaz of Duke. I mean, he's proven to be a great defensive coordinator, especially recently with Miami and Penn State. His head coaching stint at Miami really wasn't awful. He had three seasons there. His second one finished 8-3, top 25. The following year, though, they kind of fell flat when they had some expectations going into 2021, ended up finishing 7-5. Now, he admits he learned from the mistakes that he made at Miami, mainly kind of how to manage the roster. But again, I don't think the stint overall was that bad. And now he could kind of take the reins from Mike Elko at Duke and do better, you know, when not under as big of a microscope as he was at Miami.
Okay, number 10 maybe will be a surprise to some people that he's this low. I did have him maybe a slot or two higher, but I kind of appreciated that you were a little more bold with your slightly lower ranking of him. Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. Because, you know, it kind of just feels like he had that 2021 and sort of 2022 season that were just outliers where, whatever, he just caught lightning in a bottle and, you know, had Kenny Pickett, Mark Whipple, and just had a good season there in 2021. It carried over to 2022. But other than that, he's just a 7-5 type coach. He's just fine, you know, doing about what you would expect the Pitt head coach to do. Doesn't seem interested in having a great offense. And then just recently, you know, he seems to complain more about the new rules and transfers than kind of try to embrace it and use it to his advantage. So, you know, I'm just not bullish on him moving forward. And yeah, so
this is a big year, because if they have another, because last year was a debacle, and then this year, if it's another debacle, it could get to the point where his message is just stale and they need to make a move. I don't know, but
yeah.
But if he gets back to kind of average, then good for him. And, you know, maybe he'll move up a couple spots. But all right, Brent Pry, Virginia Tech at number 9. We're going to learn a lot about his standing after this season, in my opinion. He's another one that was a solid defensive coordinator at Penn State. His first year at Virginia Tech, 3-8, things were looking very bleak, but he kind of stayed the course, finished 7-6 last year. But it doesn't sound great, but the way they finished the year kind of caught fire. They won a bowl game. They finished with some momentum. And the success was kind of led by some of the transfers that he was able to bring in, mainly Kyron Drones, who ended up being the starter about midway through the year. They return a lot of that production this season. He kind of has the Hokies in that kind of sleeper category of the ACC this year. So I think year 3 is really going to tell us a lot about Pry.
Yeah, his stock is rising. Like, they should have a good year. And if they do, then he'll probably rise even more on this list. I mean, he already has risen. I would imagine. I didn't look back at last year's list, but I would think he was significantly lower.
Yeah, that's pretty this. Grim.
Okay. Number 8, Rhett Lashley at SMU, newcomer to the ACC. He's off to a good start at SMU. 7-6 in year one, and then 11-3 this past year. Won the American, undefeated in conference. He's made good use of the transfer portal. He is a pretty solid offensive coach. And actually, their defense this past year was really good.
Yeah.
So seemed to have made a good hire there. So we will see, though, jumping up in class to the ACC, if he can, you know, it seems like a lot of these schools, you know, at least the schools that jumped up to the Big 12, for some of them, it was bad timing. I feel like for those programs, they just were destined for down years anyway, but they struggled. So we'll see if the same thing happens for Rhett Lashley and SMU. But I wouldn't necessarily expect it. I think they'll be pretty good.
Yeah, Preston Stone back, I think. So, all right. Number 7, Mack Brown, North Carolina. Now, you know, this isn't a what have you done in your career list, but I think just the way he is now, this is a fair spot. Like, if you look at his 5 years at North Carolina in the second state of North Carolina, the way I look at it, it's kind of a mix of good and bad. The good is that he kind of elevated them back relevant, has produced prolific quarterbacks, good offenses. The bad side is they've kind of had a knack for starting years strong, kind of fading down the stretch. The defense has let them down recently. And you could argue, you can make the case that they've underachieved with the quarterbacks they've had, Sam Howell, Drake May. But again, back to kind of some of the good, 9-5 and 8-5 the last couple of years. It's not awful in the grand scheme. They won the Coastal a couple years ago, recruiting at a decent level too. It's just like, I kind of waffle back and forth on Mac. Like, is he done? Is he not?
People, I feel like the perception out there is that he just sucks and has been.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
It's been a failure, maybe some people would say. Maybe I'm setting up a straw man here, but I don't know. Yeah, he's done overall. When you look at the records, like, he's done a good job, even if it's a little bit frustrating, given some of the talent they've recruited. But yeah, I think this is a fine spot for him. Number six, we have Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. Made seven straight bowl games at one point. Had a really rough
impressive
2023. And 2024 looking like it could be rough again. So I think that's taken him down a couple spots, but he has a long enough track record there and at Bowling Green that it's hard to drop him too much. But we'll see. He could keep dropping if they don't get it back.
Number five, Dave Doran, NC State. He's a guy, he doesn't wow you, but just kind of steady and consistent, like, honestly, kind of boring. 11 years there, usually an 8-9 win team, which is good. I mean, it's not bad. He brings in Grayson McCall this year, still trying to get to their first ACC championship under him. It could happen this year. You know, the other good side about him is he's developed 17 NFL draft picks in the last 5 years. So they're churning out the talent. He's solid, but one of these times he's got to break through if he really wants to kind of jump in these coach rankings.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Number four. I don't know how people are going to feel about this, but this is my boy, Mario Cristobal at Miami. I remain high on him. I could even make an argument. I wouldn't be surprised if next year he ends up, you know, second or third on this list, but there are three very good coaches ahead of him. So, even just going all the way back to FIU, did a pretty good job there. At Oregon, built up a recruiting machine, won a lot of games there, won a Rose Bowl, I think won a couple of Pac-12 championships. So that was a success. Like, he left Dan Lanning with a very good program, much better than he inherited. At Miami, the first 2 years, you know, especially, let's say the first year was definitely underwhelming. They should have been better, but I still think they're trending very much in the right direction. He's an elite recruiter. He's done a great job there of recruiting. They're building up the talent. Like I said, they got better in year two. I think heading into year three, they're again going to make another jump. I think their season win total is 9.5 this year. So if they hit 9 or 10 wins, we're going to free. I think that the reason he gets people think he's a bad coach is he'll make, you know, the famous one against Georgia Tech this year where he could have knelt and won the game. Obviously that was so bad, but those little in-game decisions, I think overall are such a small part of being a head coach. Like, you know, he's still been able to win a lot of games and have a lot of success even with, you know, blunders like that.
Yeah, exactly. And the other point of that is if you're just looking at maybe the X's and O's or game day decisions, that's one thing, but you do have to weigh the recruiting ability. Like, that has to be a factor in this, I think. So that's why you would have them at as high as you do here. So yeah, I don't disagree. Number three, you and Ryan's other boy,
Jeff. My other boy. These are two of my favorite coaches.
Yeah. Back to back, Jeff Brohm, Louisville. And he's a guy that's well respected amongst other coaches. He managed to get the most out of his Purdue teams, even had a few big time upsets there. Almost always has a potent offense. And you look at year one at Louisville, he got them to their first ACC title game, won 10 games. No one really saw that coming. I'm excited to see what he can do with, you know, some more resources at Louisville and it being his alma mater. It seems like good things are on the horizon for Louisville.
Oh, yeah. And going all the way back to Western Kentucky, did a great job there. He's a good coach. Number two, Mike Norvell at Florida State. He has just been rising and rising the last couple of years here. Going back to Memphis, he did a good job there, but I wasn't at all sold on him headed into FSU because he inherited such a good thing from Justin Fuente. And so it's kind of like, all right, how much credit do we really give him? But he did not inherit a good thing from Willie Taggart at Florida State. It was just a mess of a roster. I mean, the program has a lot of potential, but the roster was very bad. And so they struggled at first, especially since I think 2020 was his first year, if I'm remembering right. He definitely was coaching in 2020. So it was a tough way to start. But by year three, boom, like he's already gotten them to be a really good program. They went 10-3. And then this past year, 13-1, should have made the college football playoff. We'll see if he can get recruiting up to that elite level. I think that's the question. If he's going to jump into the, say, we'll see when we get to our national list, but if he's going to be a top five coach for me, I'm going to need to see that high school recruiting continue to elevate. And maybe it will this year. We'll see.
Yeah, because he's hit gold in the portal recently. But yeah, if he can mix that with the recruiting to develop the program, he would jump in. So number one, Dabo Swinney. You know, Norvell is closing in, but you just can't dethrone Dabo, despite the frustration of him, not fully embracing the new era we're in with the transfer portal and NIL whatnot. But he set the bar so high with winning national titles that the last 3 years of not making the playoff have kind of been viewed as disappointments. Last year was the first time Clemson didn't win 10 games since 2010. So even though it feels like they're down, they still finished in the top 20 the last three seasons. But yeah, I mean, they're not at the playoff and natty level at the moment. So if you're judging them against that, it's been a disappointment. But I'm so curious to see where this is going. Because I don't know, another year or two of, if they had 8-9 wins, like, what do they do then?
Yeah, it's interesting, but I agree. We both had him number one. Some people may get a little aggressive and have Norvell pass him up, but it's going to take a lot more, not a lot more, but it's going to take at least a couple more years of these results to drop Dabo after everything he's done. Like you said, winning 9 games, it's not like he's, going 5-6 or something.
Right. Exactly.
Or 5-7. I don't know. What is this? 2006, Michael. Anyway. So there you have it. There are our top, our 17 coaches for the ACC. Thank you for listening. Next episode, we're going to have the Big 12, 16 coaches to rank there. So we'd appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star rating on and review on Apple Podcasts. It's been a while since we've had a review there, so we would like to see that. And Spotify as well, 5 stars. And we'll talk to you in, I don't know, whenever our next episode comes out. Won't be a week, but we'll see.